You know, I love this setting up here. Am I on? Turn this one on. I love this setting. Hey, go mommy. You go mama. Can't help it, I'm a popular guy. I love this setting up here. I feel like I ought to have coveralls on or bib overalls. Bib overalls and a tie. I might go out and buy me a set. I would look like the Scarecrow. They went to a museum out there in Texas, Joe and Stacy, and they texted me a message, a picture. There was a doctor sitting there from the, it was a wax dummy. And they put Dr. Ryman. That's it looks just like me. Skinny guy. Oh, man. I busted out laughing when I saw that. Now, all the folks have been in Texas, they've heard me preach this message because I just preached it down there. But I'm going to preach it again. I feel like, take your Bible, look in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 15. So y'all just take a break there. You've already heard it. And 2 Samuel chapter 15. And verse 37. No, that's not it. Oh, yes. 2 Samuel, man, I don't even know where I'm at. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3. There you go. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3. All right. And I'm going to preach on friendship, true friends. And 2 Samuel chapter 15, and I did say 37. And look at, good night, where am I at? Verse 3, here it is, yeah. No, that's not it. I've got it written down wrong or something. It's 13, I'm sorry. 13. I got it now. I've got it. 2 Samuel 13. There you go. There you go. All right, 2 Samuel 13. Now we're in the right place. We're in the right place here. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 13. Let's start at verse 1. It says, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, they were half-brothers and sister. And it says, Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend. And you think about this, all this takes place after David had sinned with Bathsheba. And God, Nathan, the prophet, came to David and said, he said, you're the man. And he said, you caused this shame upon Israel. He went and took another man's wife. He had a relationship with her. She got pregnant. She had a child. The child died. David had her husband killed. And David, I mean, a bunch of wickedness takes place here. And David being the king of Israel, he said, well, he was king. He could do whatever he wanted. But you forget the factor that God was watching everything. And David was a man after God's own heart. And what he had done, the Bible says he walked across the top of the roof one day or one evening and saw a woman bathing. And she was a beautiful woman. And he asked about her, and he ends up taking her to his house and having a little get-together. And she ends up sleeping with him. And they end up having, she ends up pregnant. And then David calls her husband home from the battle. And he tries to get him drunk to go home and sleep with his wife. So everything would be covered up. And David didn't want anybody to know that he was the one guilty of bringing a child, her being pregnant by him and having a child. So The Bible says that he got him drunk, but he didn't go home. He slept outside the gate or outside the castle there by the door, and he wouldn't go home. And then David tried it again, tried to get him drunk. He sent food and everything, tried to get him to go to his house. And he called him in and said, "Why won't you go home?" He said, "Not when my captain of the army of God is out there in the field." And he said, "And should I go home and be with my wife, my family, enjoy myself while the armies of God are out there battling?" And David didn't know what else to do. So David writes a death warrant for this young man, and Uriah the Hittite. And David writes a note to Joab and says, "When the battle, set this guy up and put him in the fierce part of the battle. And when the battle gets raging," he said, "back the men up and let him stay and let him get killed." So David had him murdered. David had this guy murdered. And then when David had this guy murdered, had him killed, and then he went and took Bathsheba into his house and took him as his own wife. She ends up having a baby. The baby dies. Now, to show you the grace of God, God allowed Bathsheba's son throughout years later to become king in David's place. And this sin cost David. David tried to cover it up. He thought everything was covered up. I can see Joab coming back from the battle and Joab coming back in thinking, "All right, Dave, tell David I did what he told me." And he walks back into the gates of Jerusalem and he looks up at the palace and or sees David at the palace there and sees Bathsheba beside him, and Joab put two and two together that David wanted this guy's wife and had this Uriah the Hittite killed for his wife. And then the Bible says that Nathan the prophet went in and said to him, gave him a scenario, said, "Hey, there was a man that had many sheep, and then there was a man that had only one ewe lamb, and the men that had many sheep went and took this man's one ewe lamb that he loved and nurtured and cared for, and then, you know, sacrificed that sheep for his friends and all that." David gets mad sitting on the throne. David knew the law, and David said, "He'll pay. He'll pay fourfold. He'll pay for that. And he'll pay four for one." And that's the law. And one sheep, he'll say, "You'll pay four." And that means four people. So Absalom has a sister named Tamar. And David has children by different women. They're half brothers and sisters. And Amnon loved Absalom's sister Tamar. He fell in love with her, seen her. That was his half sister. I mean, we're talking about West Virginia, Kentucky, that kind of thing that goes on down there all the time. Now, if you're from there, don't get offended. I'm just joking. I mean, don't get offended. But they always talk about people, you know, kissing cousins. It came out of Elvis movie, you know, kissing cousins. Elvis falls in love with his cousin, all that kind of stuff. That's almost sick, man. That's sick. But it had to start somewhere. I mean, you know, back in the Genesis. But it says, verse 3, it says, "Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei." And it says David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And the Bible says this guy was Amnon's friend. And he comes up and he says, "Hey," and you read on, let's read on down verse 4. And he said on him, "Why art thou being the king's son, lean from day to day?" That means the guy was so sick in love that he wouldn't eat. He was so much in love with this woman that he would not eat his sister. And it says, "Will thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother's Absalom's sister." And Jonadab said unto him, "Lay thee down on thy bed." Now notice the Bible says the guy was a subtle guy. He's telling him how to get his sister and rape her. That's what he's telling him. How to get her and rape her. And boy, I'll tell you what, you got friends like that, you don't need no enemies, man. And some of y'all right now, you need to get rid of some of the friends that you had. Yeah. I mean, some of your friends care less about you. Yeah. All they do is, like I said this about Facebook. Everybody says, "I've got so many friends on Facebook." They ain't your friends. If you was on fire, they wouldn't spit on you. Yeah. They wouldn't care about you. And I mean, you know, you got some friends. People say, "I got a friend." Man, thank God we got Christian friends that will pray, definitely pray. But then some people say, "I'm praying." Yeah, and you don't see them stop and pray. They don't see them getting down on their knees and say, "Oh, God, help my brother and sister," or whatever. There's a lot of the phoniness goes on. A lot of so-called friends, fair-weather friends. But, man, if you got a good friend that loves you, that cares about you. I mean, thank God for them. The Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And thank God for their good friends. I feel like I got some good friends in here. I got some good friends. I love you. And I mean, I hope I'm your friend. And I want to be your friend. Amen. I don't want to be like, you know, what Jesus said to Judas. He said, portray thou the Son of Man with a kiss. He said, hey, friend. I don't want to be like that.
Right.
I don't want to be like one of them subtle type men like Jonadab. And he's always subtle, always figuring out a way to connive and cheat and steal and always trying to figure out a way to get what he wants or get somebody else what they want and just mess them up. You know what this guy does? He ends up bringing death in this family. That guy, why he whispered in Amnon's ear, he ends up bringing more death. And I realize David started the ball rolling.
Yeah.
David, is when he sinned with Bathsheba, and God and Nathan said, you're going to pay for it. And he said, thou art the man. And I mean, you're going to pay for sin. There's no way around it. You're going to pay for sin. If you think I can get away with it, you ain't never going to get away with sin. Never, ever. Sin always costs you more than you want to pay. It'll take you farther than you want to go. And I'm going to tell you, it'll never leave you like it found you. It always costs. And you think a man, a woman usually fall into sin. A man contemplates sin. He'll think about how he can exit strategy. He can think about how he can get away with it. A man's always thinking that way. If he can get, but I tell you what, when you get in love with God and you say, Lord, I don't want no part of that mess no more. I ain't going to do that stuff no more. You just tell me not to think about that wickedness. And when I start thinking about it, get it out of my mind. I mean, I'm going down the road and say, get away from me. I don't want to think like that. God cleansed my mind.
Amen.
And this Jonadab, he was a wicked man. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. And so laid him down. And it says, and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Ammon said unto the king, I imagine Ammon's in his 20s, somewhere in the 20s, and his sister probably in teens. She's probably 18, 19, somewhere in there. And he lays him down. He says, so Ammon lay down, made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Ammon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Then David went home to Tamar and saying, go now to thy brother Ammon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went down to her brother Ammon's house and he was laid down and she took her flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes and she took a pan and poured it there and so on. So she did all this and she prepared because why? She cared about him. She was innocent in this whole thing. And then in verse 10, it says, Ammon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber that I may eat which ye have made at thy hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them down to the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. She answered him, saying, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And she said, and I with thy shall cause my shame to go, for as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. She was trying to stop him. She was trying to tell him, don't do this. Talk to dad. I mean, she was trying everything she could to make this guy think. But he was so caught up in it. He was so determined. And Amnon, the Bible says, howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, being stronger, then he forced her and laid with her. Now look what happens, verse 15. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly. So that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. Get out of here. After he used her, abused her, then he throws her away like a piece of trash.
Yeah.
And says, get out of here. And the Bible says she went weeping back home and so on. And then Absalom, her brother, says, you stay right here. And she wore, man, she was just mourning for 2 years. And he said, you stay right here. I'll take care of him. I'll get him. Now, I've got half brothers and sisters. I've got a half brother I wouldn't trust as far as I could kick this building. My half brother is perverted. My brother is perverted. And, you know, most people get molested by family members. They get molested in family situations. That's why I never let my kids stay nowhere. I didn't want my kids to go over, stay the night somewhere. I didn't want them to be around relatives. Why? Because the kids get molested around family members. And that's what happens. Uncles, aunts, so on. And that's not the message this morning, but I'm talking about true friends. And Bible says this, that when Absalom made where he was going to, he already had it figured out. He said, I'm going to kill Amnon. And he does. He ends up, hires a man. He has a big party at his house. I ain't got time to get into all that. But he has a big party at his house. If you read on down, he has a big party and he invites Amnon. And Amnon goes and he tells his guys, he said, when Amnon's drinking and he's having a good time, I want you to kill him and hold him. I mean, kill him good. Kill him. His own stepbrother said, kill him. And they kill him. And the Bible says that they all ran out of the place. They were running back to the king's castle, and they were going back, and he's seen them coming, and somebody came and said, hey, Absalom killed all your children. And the king went, oh, my God. He knew that his sin was coming back. And he said, oh, my God, all my kids. And the Bible says they all came, but then there was Jonadab there. Jonadab was a subtle man. He was standing next to the king. He was an advisor. And he said to the king, he said, don't worry, king. He said, he didn't kill them all. He only killed Amnon. He said, how did he know that? Why? Because he's the one that planted the bad seed. Amnon. Amnon had a friend named Jonadab. What kind of friend are you? Are you always conniving? Trying to figure out how to mess somebody up? The Bible says, talks about friends in the Bible. Now, man, I thank God. Like I said, I got some good friends. I got friends that love me, care about me. And man, a friend is one who knows all about you and still loves you. A friend is a person who comes when all the other person has gone out, when everybody else leaves. This guy, Amnon, had a friend which he should have done away with a long time ago, even though he was a cousin. He should have got away from him. After I got saved, man, I learned who my real friends were. After I got saved and wanted to do right, I found out who my real friends are. And you'll find out that as well.
Sure.
I went to church, and man, I sat in a church of 2,500 people, 1,500 to 2,500, and I found out a lot of the kids was trying to find out where I came from because they were heading that way. They wanted to know insight how to get out in the world. And man, I wanted to get to know God. I wanted to get around people that knew God. I wanted to get closer to God. I had a lady named Mrs. Long. I thought she was the greatest Christian in all the world. And this woman, man, we put her high up on a pedestal. And man, my wife and I looked at her, and I couldn't figure out why her kids was going bad. And then one day, I told you all this story. I was driving a trash truck, and I seen her. I was telling a friend of mine about her, how great a woman this woman was. She was the greatest Christian I've ever seen. She was great and loved God. And all of a sudden, she went by in front of me with the lights. I could still see the lights on her car going by. She was pulling in the Red Lobster. And I said, there she is. I want you to meet her. And I pulled in the Red Lobster as I turned the corner coming in the parking lot. There she came out of her car, ran across the parking lot, and the guy ran across this way, a younger guy, and she met, and they were making out in the middle of the parking lot. And I mean, I was like dumbfounded. I was like, what? And a friend of mine said, is that her husband? And I knew it wasn't her husband. I said, I think that's her son. He said, kissing like that? I mean, they were doing the French kissing, man. And they were doing all that. And I went, my Lord. And I mean, I got mad. Then I put in another guy. I was going to run over them. I hit the air horn. They jumped out of the way. I was going to run over them suckers, man. And then I seen her in church. And she come up to me real pious and real funny. Hi, Brother Allen. How you doing? I said, get away from me. I said a few things. I wasn't real gracious then. I said, get away from me. I spit on you. It made me sick the way what I seen. I said, I seen you with your boyfriend. It made me mad. It made me upset. And man, she went away crying. But Jonadab, he wasn't no real friend. Even though he was a cousin, he wasn't a friend. And the Bible says Amnon had a friend. Now, worldly friendship, some of y'all got some worldly friendship. And the Bible says the rich have many friends. I said this down in Texas. I said, can you imagine Donald Trump? You think the woman that he has is a wife right now, what's her name? Ivana or whatever her name is. You think she would have married him? Being an old goat that he is, and she's like a, you know, she's a supermodel. You think she would have married him if he didn't have money? And I said, if Bill Clinton talked about how great Hillary is, I mean, why do you always have to have another woman around? Amen. Why do you always have to run around? You know, they said Bill Clinton would go down to Georgetown. I worked in Georgetown, and Georgetown is a university. They said Bill Clinton would tell a CIA or a Secret Service guy, said, come with me, and they would go to the bars down in Georgetown secretly. He'd go in the bars, call the bar up, come in the back, sit in the table, and mess around with the women, young college women in there. I mean, the guy is crooked as the dog's hind leg, man. But worldly friendship for a Christian, man, you got to watch out. The Bible talks about the prodigal son. I mean, the rich have many friends. I mean, the prodigal son went out, and he said, I'm going to show the world how to live. I'm going to show my father, the old man, the old fogey, don't know what he's talking about, and I'm going to go out. I got friends, and I got friends that's going to be there for me. And he goes out until the money runs out. Right. Some of y'all are going to have to learn the hard way. You think you got friends now. Friends, I thought they turned state's evidence on me every time I turned around. Every time we went to court, they turned state's evidence. My friends, worldly friendship is no good. Now, the Bible tells us to make friends with unrighteous mammon, but I tell you what, worldly friendship, they will leave you, man, they'll leave you high and dry. I mean, they'll leave you, man, as far as they can, you know, just kick a building, they'll leave you quick. I mean, common ground. A lot of times we have friends that's in common ground, like brother Ken. Brother Ken and Miss Tiffany started, they're doing chickens now. They got friends that are doing the same thing. You have common ground and become friendship. And there's nothing wrong with that. But worldly friendship, man, when it comes to worldly friendship, God tells you, love not the world, neither things in the world. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. All that's in the world, I mean, worldly friendship, the Bible says enmity against God. I mean, folks, I'm not saying you be rude and crude and hate everybody out in the world, but if you want friends, the Bible says he that hath friends will show himself friendly. If you want to see people saved, you're going to have to be friends to them. But I'm telling you, man, when you get a hold of this world thing and think, this is my friend, and I'm going to die for my friend, I'll go to hell for my friend, I tell you what, you're a fool. You're a fool.
Amen.
I had guys in the gang with me. I mean, I thought they were my friends, man, but they weren't my friends. And when after I got saved and wanted to do right, they were trying to get me back on drugs. They were trying to get me back drinking. They were trying to get me back doing stuff that I used to do. Why? Because they didn't like the way I was. And your friends ain't going to like that either. When you determine you're going to do what's right. I'm going to live right. I'm going to act right. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to love God. I'm going to read my Bible. Worldly friendship will destroy you if you let it. Now, I'm not telling you, like I said, that you have to be rude to people, but I tell you what, you need to care about the lost and dying world. But if you hang around with them, I went back to the bars and stuff and tried to be my friends and hang in there. I had a guy come tell me one time, he said, I just go to the bars and I drink a Coke and sit there. The association that you have. When you go around the world, man, the association, it'll mess you up and it'll give you a bad testimony. And before long, the devil will use that. And somebody said, well, I seen so-and-so down in the bar. And man, the devil will use that. And you'll say, well, I wasn't drinking. They start running you down. You'll get mad and you'll be right back down to the bar. You'll be down there like, cheers. Everybody knows my name. Oh, that's stupid, man. Stupid. Friendship of this world is enmity against God. Paul said, all men forsook me. He said, but the Lord didn't. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. God, you know, the Bible says when Jesus Christ was crucified, Herod and Pilate were at enmity against themselves or against each other. And the Bible says on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, they became friends. Right. The world became friends with the Son of God being crucified. Amen. I mean, folks, I made up my mind a long time ago. I want to see my friends saved. I want to see them know Jesus Christ. But I'm not going to forsake my friend, my best friend, the one that loved me and died for me, to go hang with the old world and the old crowd and be around them. If they want to come see me, they're going to come to church. Amen. I'm not going down to the bars I used to hang around with. I'm not going to go back to the same old places I used to do and do the drugs with them to be their friend. A lot of times Christianity says, well, you got to be just like them to win them. No, you don't. You ain't got to be like them to win them. A lot of times these churches, they try to dress like them, try to, you know, piercings and all that. Man, I can't understand. I see women with the fad today is the piercings and the tattoos and all that stuff. You know, one day, man, them women are going to regret having them tattoos. They get them on their back. They got them all over their back. And man, don't you know that thing's going to sag one day? It's going to, right now, look like an eagle. One day, it's going to look like a God knows what it was, an old goat or something. That's what it's going to look like. God have mercy, man, to have that stuff. The Bible tells you not to do that. Take your Bible, look in Proverbs chapter 14. Look what it says. Proverbs chapter 14. Look what it says about the friends of this world. Friends of this world. Proverbs 14, the poor is hated, even of his own neighbor, but the rich have many friends. You get money, buddy. I tell you what, you hit the lottery, there'd be people coming out of woodwork that tell you that they've been your friend for years and years and years. And you get a little money, they'll find it just like Pete's son. He thought his daddy was going to get $500,000. Didn't want nothing to do with his dad. Didn't want nothing to do with God. Didn't want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And then when he found out his father was going to get $500,000, he came back, and then he killed the old guy. Couldn't be proven, but he kept his drugs and kept the pills going. And you know that crowd when Jesus Christ was crucified, you know what they said to Caesar? I mean, they said to Pilate. They said, if you're no friend of Caesar, if you let him go. They said that to that Pilate when he said, what wrong has he done? I mean, why? And they said, you're no friend of Caesar. That guy was more concerned about being a friend of Caesar than he was to God. Friendship in this world will ruin you. You'll never do anything for God. Take your Bible, chapter 16. Look in chapter 16, look what it says. Chapter 16 and verse 28. I mean, folks, what I had to do, I had to divorce my friends. And I had to get away from them. Now, I still cared about them. Friend loveth at all times. I still care about them. I still want to see them saved. I still want to see them do right. But I'm not going to go back to the pit where God got me out of to get them. I'm not going to stay in the pit, that's for sure. It says, a forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separated chief what? Friends. A whisperer. Somebody going around saying, did you hear about something? They separate friends. That's what the Bible says that the world does. Look at chapter 17. Look at chapter 17. Look at verse 9. Look what it says. It says in verse 9, it says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You keep repeating the same thing, doing the same thing, doing the same thing over and over again. The Bible says, men, you just separate friends. Look at chapter 22. Look what the Bible says, chapter 22, verse 24. It says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. It says, man, don't make no friends with somebody walking around always angry. You got out in the world today, you got young people always walking around angry. It's a fad. It's a thing where I look like I'm mad, look like I'm angry about everything. And it says, don't make no friends with them. Don't make no friends with them. The friendship of this world will ruin your life. It will ruin your testimony. I tell you what God requires for a friend. Take your Bible, look in Proverbs chapter 18, look at verse 24. What God requires for a friend. You want to be God's friend? Here's what God requires. You want to be a friend of God? I want to be God's friend. You know, the Bible says Abraham was a friend of God. Look at chapter 18, look at verse 24. Chapter 18, verse 24. It says, a man to have friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Yeah, amen. God requires for friendship is, man, you need to not only you need to wait and trust him and believe in him and believe that he's going to have your best intentions for your life. You got to wait on him and trust him and say, Lord, I put my life in your hands. You know, the Bible says that love your neighbor as yourself. God says, you want to be my friend? Love your neighbor. That's the hardest thing for people to do. I mean, especially if you've got a neighbor that, you know, got something going on with your land markers or dogs or kids or something, and it says, love your neighbor as thyself. Man, loving your neighbor, that's a command. You know, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You love your neighbor? You hate your neighbor. You pray for your neighbor? I mean, Jesus, God says, you want to be my friendship? You want to have friendship with me? Love your neighbor. Care about him. Tell him how great things God has done. Man, God wants you to have a relationship. The Bible talks about, take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 10. Look in Luke chapter 10. Look at this. The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was on his road, and everybody passed by a man that needed help, and the Good Samaritan didn't stop. I tell you what, Alex stopped to help this woman the other day. Alex stopped this woman that had a pickup truck, had a flat tire. He calls me up. Every time Alex stops, he always calls me. Hey, preacher, this guy ran out of gas. As always, it's raining real bad or as hot as Hades outside. I mean, and Alex calls me up, and I don't want to discourage him for helping people, and that's a blessing that he wants to help people. And I'll say, okay, Alex, come on, we'll help him out. So he called me up one day. He said, this lady got a flat tire. I said, well, take the tire off, bring it over here. I've got some tires here, bring it on over. And Alex said, well, she doesn't have a jack. And I said, she doesn't have a jack. He said, no, she doesn't have a jack. I said, how about a lug wrench? She said, doesn't have a lug wrench. So Alex just got off work. He takes the, comes to my house, gets a jack, and I have a spare tire. I said, try this now. He jacks it up, takes it off. I mean, I'm talking about it's 90-some degrees outside. And this, I don't know if the woman and her boyfriend or husband or whatever, did they help you at all? Did they help? But anyway, they were there. And Alex comes back to my house with this tire and says, this one won't work. Here's he had the jack out there on the side of the road, and he's jacking up. But he went, made three or four trips to help this woman. And the woman said, I'll be in church. Is she here? No. Okay. But anyway, but it's a good Samaritan. The good Samaritan, look at this. But there's nothing wrong with helping people. And I would encourage you to help people. I mean, people need help. Help them out. And look at the Bible says in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. And it says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master. Now, that's not it. That's not what I'm looking for. What is it? 30. All right, here it is. Jesus answered and said, I got to, man, renew my notes. It says, and Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he had saw him, he passed by on the other side. And if anybody should have stopped to help this guy, it should have been the priest. And it says a certain Levite, here's another guy, a religious man. And when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Then a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You know what a Samaritan was? A Samaritan was a half Jew, half Gentile. And he was a nobody. The Jews looked down on Samaritan. He was a half-breed. And the Samaritan came. The priest went by. And then the Levite went by, both religious. But then the Samaritan, which was unliked by both sides. The Gentiles didn't like him because he was half Jew. And the Jews didn't like him because he was half Gentile. And he stops and he has compassion on the guy. I mean, God looks at that. God looks at people when you walk on by and you don't care about people. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, you see a guy on the corner asking for money, all that stuff. I'm not saying you give him all your money. I've been in Wawa and different places. Guy come up and say, hey, man, can I get a dollar so I can get a hot dog? I said, well, I won't give you a dollar. I'll take you and buy it for you. Come on in here. And I won't give them the money. Why? Because they'll go buy a liquor, man. You ever seen the guys hanging out there saying, I work for food, work for food. And then I've had people tell me they've taken the McDonald's hamburgers and Coke and French fries and walked up to the guy. He said, work for food. And he said, here you go. Here's something. And they go, what's that? And he said, that's food. You said you're hungry. He said, I don't want that. What it was, he wanted some money so he can go get some drugs or go get some drink. Right. Not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah. Amen.
But man, God looks down and sees how you treat people. And the Bible says, if you know somebody that has a need and you've got it within your power to help them and you don't do it, you got it within your power?
Yeah.
Now, folks, look what the Bible says. This Samaritan, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, and I mean, he was inconvenienced, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and wounded, bound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
He said, Jesus Christ gave this comparison. He said, which one was a neighbor?
Yeah.
Which one had compassion? Which one? You want to be God's friend? You want friendship with God? This is what God requires. How to be a friend of God. Take your Bible, look in James chapter 4. Look in James 4. How to be a friend of God. You want to be God's friend? He commands you to repent. He commands you that you'll take up your cross and follow him. I said this down in Texas. I said, my son Josh, where is he at? Where's Josh? Is he right there? I said this in Texas. Josh is my son. And I love my son. You're God's children. And he loves his children. But Josh has not always been my friend. He hadn't always been my friend. Just recently, he's become my friend. I said, when you get married, your wife or your husband should be your best friends. You should be friends with each other. If you can't be friends before you get married, brother, I'll tell you what, don't get married. But my son, like I said, I love him. He's my son. He's of my seed. But he wasn't always my friend. Now he's my friend. You're God's child, and God loves you. Not everybody's his friend sitting in here. James chapter 4. James 4. Look at verse 4. He says, ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity against God? What he's saying, man, when it comes down to friendship, you doing what God wants you to do or doing what the world wants you to do? You know what a lot of people do? They'll sell the Lord out for a job. They'll sell God out for some money. They'll sell the Lord out for friendship of the world. God wants you. God says, the Bible says that in the Ten Commandments that the Lord is a jealous God. And he's jealous over you. And he loves you. And he wants your friendship. Abraham believed God. The Bible says Abraham was a friend of God. And whatever God said, Abraham said, okay, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you said. And the Lord said, okay, Abraham, see them stars? See them? No, can you number them? Abraham said, nope. He said, that's where your children's going to be. Like the stars of the sky, like the sand of the sea. He said, because you're my friend. You know what the Bible says? That God went down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he didn't have to go by Abraham. He had two angels with him. And if you read in Genesis, the Lord God goes down there and he walks by Abraham. And Abraham sees him and says, hey, come on in here, Lord. How would you, man, you're talking about relationship. That was Jesus Christ incarnate there. He walks by, and the Lord says, and Abraham says to Sarah, says, go kill a fatted calf. Go get everything ready and have it make a meal. And the Lord had a meal with Abraham. Had a meal with him. Sat there and ate. The angels. And he said, should I hide this from my friend? You know, the Lord will show you things because you're his friend. A friend sticketh closer than a brother. And God will give you insight. And God, you want to be God's friend? God has requirements. For you to be a friend of God, God says this. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity against God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. God says, don't be a friend of this world. When it comes down to letting the world control your thoughts, control your actions, control your life. See, a lot of folks watch TV and they watch shows and their kids want to get their everything that they believe and what they look forward to, everything's off the TV set. Right now, the news media, they have an agenda. They're pushing things on Christians, trying to get you to believe what they want you to believe. And they'll push it and say, if you want to be our friend, you want to be our friend, you better do what we say. God says, don't be a friend of them. Now, you can win them to Jesus Christ, but I'm talking about putting them above God. That's what he's talking about. James chapter 4, he says, man, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity against God. I don't want to go against the Lord. And one day, though, I know the Bible says that the Lord's going to come back, and the Lord's going to judge the nations, and he's going to say, I was hungry. And man, he said, the world, you didn't give me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I mean, he's going to say that to the nations. Where are you at? Where are you at when your friendship comes? Is it God first or is it the world first? I've had offers, jobs, money. And one time I worked for this guy. I worked for a roofing company in Washington, D.C., and this Chinese guy that was starting another business. And he came and offered me to come downtown right by the Capitol, right by the White House. I went down and I walked up. He said, I own this building. So I walked up and I looked at this building. It was a high rise. It was about 10 to 12 stories. I went in there and his office was huge. And I sat down. He said, sit down on this couch. I went to sit down on the couch. He said, I just got that from China. It cost me $50,000. I wouldn't sit on it. I went, oh, my Lord, I ain't sitting on this. He goes, no, I want you to sit on it. He said, I'm starting up a business, a roofing company. He said, I want you to head it up. I want you to be the manager of it. I want, because I worked for Wagner Roofing Company, he came over. He said, I want you to do all this, and he's telling me all this stuff. And then he said this to me. He said, a man would have to be a fool not to work for me. As soon as he said that, something in my heart said, no. I got up. I walked over to his big old desk he sat behind. I leaned over and I shook his hand. He goes, what? And I was getting ready to leave. I just walked over and went, thank you, like that. And he said, well, I haven't finished. I haven't finished. I said, I've finished. I said, I guess I'm a fool. See you later. I made up my mind.
Yeah.
I'm not going to follow what the world says.
Amen.
And wants me to do.
Amen.
Man, the world will try to flash money in front of you. They'll try to give you all kinds of incentives.
Right.
Just follow me.
Yeah.
Get out of the will of God.
Right.
Don't serve the Lord. Use a little language. I mean, drink a little bit. Ken was telling me that they invited him to go to these meetings for this brokerage and all that stuff, and they were partying there. They said, why won't you come? He said, because I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to be around that mess.
Yeah.
You want to be a friend of God? You got to make choices.
Yeah.
You got to make choices. You want to be God's friend? You're going to have to make choices between your friends, the people that you think you're friends. Jesus was a friend to all, brother. Jesus said, the Bible says, called Jesus Christ a friend of sinners. Thank God he was.
Yeah.
Now, when a sinner came to Jesus Christ, they were willing to repent. That's why he's called the friend of sinners. And he cares about people. And man, when they came to him, they repented. And then he told them, he said, go sin no more. Go sin no more. I mean, don't go out this practice. Look in your Bible. Look at this. Look at John chapter 15. We'll close with this. John chapter 15. John 15. Look what the Bible says. John chapter 15. And look at verse 5. He says, I am the vine. He said, you are the branches. He said, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide in me, and he is cast forth as a branch, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered, and men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. You want to be God's friend? Jesus Christ is a friend. He said that you bear much fruit. He said, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He's saying, you abide in him, he's abiding in you, you'll have joy. Unspeakable, full of glory. Joy. Look on down what he says. He said, these things have I spoken on you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his what? Friends. If you are my friends, he said, if you are my friends, you'll do whatsoever I command of you. God's requirement to be a friend. You want to be a friend of God? He said, abide in me. The Bible says the last shall be first and the first shall be last. You abide in. You put him first. You put him first always. John the Baptist is called the friend of the bridegroom. John the Baptist wasn't in the bride of Christ, but he's called the friend of the bridegroom. He had a great honor to be a friend of the bridegroom. It's a great honor to have for God to call you his friend. My friend. My friend. The Bible says he was wounded in the house of his friends. These are people that were supposed to be his friends. That were Jewish people. They were his own. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, them gave he power to become sons of God. He says, I was wounded in the house of my friends. I don't want the Lord to be wounded in my house. I don't want him to be wounded in this house. So how can he be wounded? By our testimony. By our relationship with people. I don't want him to be wounded in the house of his friends. When he comes to my house, he's a welcome guest.
Amen.
He can have anything in the house. He can have anything that I have. Matter of fact, he has it all anyway. It's his. He says, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Let me ask you something. Are you his friend? Are you his true friend? I said true friend. You want to be the Lord's true friend? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. You'll keep my commands. So how did that's growing. That's growing daily. Fellowshipping with him. Being around where he's talked about in fellowship. And we're being around where he's exalted. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men on myself. You know, we come to church on Sunday morning. We're praying for people to get saved. We pray for people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're praying for Christians to grow up. Like I said in Sunday school this morning, I've got Christians as elders. I got some young. I got babies. You got all different size children at that age. I want them all to grow up and be God's friend. My son is my son, and I love him. But he wasn't my friend until just recently. You want to be God's friend? You obey him. Father, thank you again this morning for your mercy. Thank you for your love. And I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, to be a friend. And be a friend to sinners, as like you were. Be a friend to people that try to win them to Jesus Christ. Help this church, God, always be a friend to sinners. To see people come to know Jesus Christ. Help us not to be, Lord, they always say, when water gets in a ship is what sinks the ship. Help us not to let the world get inside. In here, even though we are here, and the world's in us at times. But you said, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. My Father, help us to put you first in everything. Help us to seek you in our homes, our children, and that they would want to put you first. It seems that they have to find out the hard way who their real friends are. And Lord, you're the greatest friend any man, any woman, any child could ever have. Jesus, the friend. What a friend. We sing this song, oh, what a friend, such a friend, who loved me ere I knew him. And, well, Lord, we thank you for being a friend. Help us to love you. Help us, Lord God, to fulfill those requirements, to be your friend. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to sing this morning, a friend, what a friend we have in Jesus.